Thomasofgod.net.
Hello, Brother Thomas.
Hello, Sister Mary.
Brother Thomas, I understand that because God can't lie, that we are kept safe in this position called in the Spirit until He fulfills within each believer that promise of eternal life. And I know that we are not perfect while in this position, but that our sinful state is covered by Christ's perfect life, which covers us and makes us stand perfect in God's eyes. Because God sees His Son's perfect life instead of our imperfect life. So my question is, how does God see our shortcomings or sins that we commit?
Well, Sister Mary, before we came to Christ, we stand as enemies of God. Colossians 1:22 states, "And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, unreprovable in His sight." Notice that by this verse, before we came to Christ, that we were declared by God an enemy. Notice Romans 5:10, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son." Notice this verse also declares that before Christ, we were enemies of God. An enemy is one who stands on opposite sides, one to another, with hostility, not caring about the welfare or well-being of the other. Man's behavior is to live opposite from his Creator's plan for his life. Man is born into this life with a disobedient, rebellious behavior known as sin, which is to live a life of hate and anger, fighting, jealousy, bitterness, disobedient to authority, unforgiveness, murder, theft, adultery, fornication, gossip, slander, selfishness, and a lot more. But God created us to live a life of joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, humility, faithfulness, self-control, giving and forgiving, and more. As enemies, we stand in defiance to God and His way of life, and are birthed into this world in defiance to God's arrangement for mankind, which is to live under authority, and yet we live denying all authority. Enemies fight one another, living their lives in hate and bitterness, slandering and gossiping and tearing down the very lives of one another, each looking for the opportunities to take revenge and, if all possible, to take the other's life. This is the life of two who are called enemies, one of another. And yet, did you notice that the Bible calls us the enemy of God? And truly, we live our lives in retaliation to God. But let us look at the life of God toward us. He allows us to live our lives out, and instead of taking pleasure in destroying mankind, well, He does the opposite. Notice John 3:16. "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Enemies take the life of one another, and yet God is trying to save the life of those who hate Him. Did you notice that the Bible says we, the human race, are the enemies of God? But did you notice that the Bible never says God is our enemy? Let us look and see how God's behavior is toward us, and see if He has any attributes of being an enemy toward the human race. Let us start with the beginning. In the beginning, God made a promise to give mankind an eternal relationship with Him. And instead of accepting His gift, Adam and Eve threw it back in His face. And let's see what God's response was. Well, one, He warned them if they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they would die. Yet after they ate, he allowed a slow death process instead of instant. Instead of destroying Adam and Eve and taking vengeance out upon them, he forgave them and allowed the human race to multiply and still exist. Generation of Noah was a race of people that did all that they allowed in the imagination of their minds. Raping, killing, stealing, orgies, drunkenness, homosexuality, feastology, and a lot more. And yet God showed mercy to the human race and allowed it to continue through Noah and his family. God has showed mercy since the beginning over and over again. And justly so. He could have destroyed the world and began all over again. Matthew 5:45, it says that God allows the sun to shine upon the good and the evil, and also rain to fall upon the good and wicked. If we would have been God, and man, the human race, Adam and Eve, would have treated us as we had treated him, we would allow the farmers' crops to just be eaten up with locusts and mildew. So we would take vengeance out upon them and give them a life of misery and pain. So let us look upon his greatest witness, John 3:15. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Enemies do not care about the welfare or well-being of one another. Yet God seems to care about the welfare of the human race. He could allow all mankind to die and drop off into hell and in the lake of fire. Yet he has done all he could to try to save man from this destiny and allow each of us to make a decision to stay as enemies of God or to choose to live with God for eternity with him upon the second earth, never to experience death again or illness or heartache or even that sin behavior again, but living under the care of God meeting our every need. Does this sound like God is our enemy? But as one who cares about our well-being or our welfare. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. This verse is saying that the greatest love that we, the human race, can show is that we give our life for another. God's love is greater. And that while we were yet his enemies, he gave the life of his son for us. A man would dare to give his life for a friend, the one who hates and despises him? I don't think so. Would you ask your son to die and take the punishment of another who hates and despises you and wished you nothing but harm to come upon you? And yet this is what God has done toward you. So I declare to you, God is not your enemy, even though you live your life being his. And all you must do is to confess yourself to be a sinner and take his son's death as a punishment for your wrong behavior. How merciful and good God is toward his creation. And so God allows each individual to live out their life, having many chances to make that decision. But after living out their life, if they deny his son's death as their own and choose to continue to remain God's enemy, then they have chosen their own destiny of their own and by their own free will, which is to be cast into hell until the great and final day of judgment. And there they shall be sentenced as guilty by their own denial of his son and by the life that they have lived, and shall be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. But for those who have repented of their sins and have accepted Christ's death as the punishment for their own sin behavior, they are then adopted by God and brought into the family of God as a son or daughter. Romans 8:24-16 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. Now, according to this verse, if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, then you are a child of God. And you may ask, well, just exactly when and what is the moment for which when a person receives the Spirit of God? The answer to that can be found in Ephesians 1:13, which confesses that the moment you believe upon the gospel, the moment you repent of your sins, and you accept Jesus' death for the punishment of your own sins, at that moment of belief, at that moment of trust in the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the promise of eternal life and forgiveness, will then enter into you. Listen to what it says. Ephesians 1, starting with verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased price and to the praise and of his own glory. Now let me ask each of you listening, would you treat your enemy as one of your own children? What is the destiny of a child? Well, he would inherit that which you possess. Would he not? Would a child be cast into hell and then the lake of fire as you would an enemy? I don't think so. A person would treat his enemy different than one in his own family, than a son or a daughter. Would he not? So again, how does God treat or deal with the faults and failures of his children? Since we are no longer his enemy, well, to hear this answer, you will have to tune in next time. Okay, Sister Mary?
Yes, Brother Thomas, thank you. If you would like a tape or CD of today's lesson, please write to promiseofgod.net, 545 Big Leaf Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78264. Or email us at t_sal@sbcglobal.net. Or you may call area code 210-626-1416. With your request for any of the broadcast lessons or questions or comments. See you next time at thepromiseofgod.net.